This is episode number 802 with New York Times bestselling author Grant Cardone.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
T.S. Eliot said, "Only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go." Welcome to this episode where we've got the 10X King himself, Grant Cardone, New York Times bestselling author, renowned international speaker, international social media influencer, and real estate mogul who is close to building a billion-dollar portfolio of multifamily properties from scratch. It's amazing to see what this guy has done in the last 10 years alone, from almost coming out of losing everything about a decade ago and building himself back up. He's the author of 8 business books, 13 business programs, and the CEO of 7 privately held companies. He's a regular on Fox News, Fox Business, CNBC, MSNBC, as well as Forbes, Business Insider, Entrepreneur.com, and many other sites. And he's got some incredible wisdom to teach with you today. And also one of the most vulnerable moments I've ever seen of Grant in my almost 10 years of knowing him. And in this interview, we talk about how to switch your mindset to think bigger. How do you really think so much bigger that you create the results that you don't even dream are possible? How to build a culture of success with your team, Grant's superpower, and why he stands out as an entrepreneur against the rest, the power of decision making and why people are slow to make them. And we discussed lessons he learned from his mom, his wife, and his kids. This one is going to be a game changer. Make sure you share it with your friends. LewisHowes.com/802. Share that link out. Text the podcast link to someone. Be a hero to someone today by inspiring them with this interview. All right, guys, I'm excited about this one. Make sure to let me know when you're listening, what you think, what resonates with you the most. Tag me at Lewis Howes and at Grant Cardone. Let him know you're listening. Without further ado, let me introduce to you the 10X King himself, Mr. Grant Cardone.
All right.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. With Capella University's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
We got Grant Cardone in the house. He's back. My man, excited you're here.
Dude, come on, man. I love you, man.
Love you too,
man. I just have this really strong affinity and connection with you.
Yeah, man.
And we're so different, so it's like, but it just feels so good being around you. So.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. You're really good at acknowledging people too.
Oh, thank you.
I was watching, we had dinner last night. Well, we had like a little hang last night at your hotel. and I was watching you communicate with the people around you about how you were acknowledging them. And I see that with like Ed Mylett, he's really good at finding like the uniqueness and the gift and the talent that someone has and acknowledging them early in a conversation. And I don't know if that's innate. I think I do that as well. I'm always finding the good of someone and acknowledging it. And I think that's what makes you...
Well, you just must have seen me finding some good stuff from people because, you know, when I was having dinner yesterday at Chow's and there was no water on the table. So nice restaurant. The guy I'm with...
Expensive restaurant, yeah.
Yeah. The guy I'm with is, you know, an Loaded. Important person.
Yeah.
And in this town, very important. And there's no water on the table. I'm like, guys, it wasn't my dinner. I didn't call the dinner. They asked me to do the dinner. I'm like, you guys can't get water up here? Like, it's embarrassing. Maybe you want me to leave. You want me to leave? Tell me you want me to leave.
Right.
So I acknowledge the good in people, but I also acknowledge, hey, this is not acceptable.
Yeah, we were just talking about how you're not likable. And because you say the truth and you say what's on your mind and you're not filtered. And every time I do an interview with you, I have a lot of people that are like super grateful because of what they learn. And you're going to learn a lot here in a second. And then I get a few people that are just like, cannot get over the fact that I'm friends with you. They hate me for it. They unsubscribe. They unfollow. And then they like will attack me for days or weeks holding on to something because of something you said or something you do or the energy you have, how you're so honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Or how you
yeah,
say certain yeah, things yeah. that maybe aren't politically correct.
Yeah.
And I say to people like, listen, I don't have someone on because I agree with 100% of their life.
Right, right.
But there's a lot of things that I agree with or I think that could be helpful for you. And I try to find the best of everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
bring that information. And you have built an incredible empire.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
With your name, with Cardone Capital, with everything you do. And the last time you were on, we were just looking it up, was I think June of 2017, which felt like it was like a year ago.
Dude, less than a year ago, I felt like I was here.
So it was almost 2 years ago. And you told me, I think at the time, that you were doing, trying to do like 90 million or 100 million.
We were doing a deal, I think if I remember right, I was doing a deal in Houston, Texas. It was 90 million bucks or somewhere about that. And you're like, why so low or something?
And you were like, yeah, if we do 100 million this year in deals, like it's going to be great. And I was like, why not 900 million?
And that, dude, let me tell you, I left here. I mean, you gave me a great gift. So for all the people that hated that interview or I said something that bothered you, I know Lewis didn't say anything that bothered you, but that meeting I left with, I mean, the one thing I'll pat myself on the back for is like, I get one piece of data from anything. I'll get more out of one piece of data than anybody I know.
Yeah.
Just give me one piece. I'm not looking for the whole book. Like when I read a book, if I grab this book, when I open the book, you know, I'm like, okay, I make a decision every time I go read it. What can I find today in this? Not what do I agree with? I used to highlight everything and I realized, dude, all I'm doing is highlighting the shit I agree with. And now I go in and say, I'm looking for something I don't know that can improve my life. And so out of that interview, even the interviews I do, what can I get? Like coming over here,
of course.
I wonder what I'm going to get.
Right, right.
Today, what am I going to get from Lewis?
And that's what I was
I'm greedy, dude.
I know. And that's what I was thinking of last night. I was like, I'm going to get something out of Grant that's going to take him from the last interview, which was $100 million goal, to $900 million that year in 2017.
Yeah.
So I was like, why don't you get $900 million this year in 2017?
We closed $400 million worth of deals last year.
It's amazing.
I have $300 million in the hopper right now.
It's amazing.
A guy just called me on the way over here. He's like, okay, you're at 88. There was three guys in the deal. One dropped out. Do you have any room? And it's a freaking brand new deal. Unbelievable, beautiful. I think I'll be still and it'll be a little painful for 6 months or so. But these are the deal size, dude, changed so much because of that interview.
Because you were thinking like, yeah, if I can get 90 million this year or whatever
I was thinking about like $30 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know everybody's thinking, oh my God, that's so big. Because I remember when my first deal was $78,000. I did not know how to come up with
in real estate.
Yeah. I didn't know how to come up with the down payment. I remember doing seminars when I was 29 years old and I wouldn't rent a lavalier mic because it was 80 bucks.
You would just scream or get out?
I would talk to 300 people for 8 hours. There was no microphone. I didn't rent the handheld and I didn't rent this one because it was 80 bucks and I was scared of the 80 bucks. Wow. I didn't have any money, dude. So anytime I'm like, oh, I'll save 80 bucks. That'll be 2 days. That's $160. I'm going to do 50 of these this year. That's $9,000. And you can hear my voice today, like my twin brother's voice and my voice. Mine is definitely like
scratchier.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually have some physical problems because I was having to freaking use too much effort.
Wow.
Yeah. I was 29 years old, man. I wouldn't spend the money. I was terrified.
Yeah. Do you spend the money now?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now we spend. Now the stupidity is kind of like, okay, what was I thinking?
Yeah, invest in your health and longevity and things like that. Yeah,
I don't have an 80. Nobody's got an $80 problem.
Right.
They got $80 million problem.
Yeah.
That's how I approach everything now.
So you went from a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, thinking these deal sizes were so big at the time. But now
they
these are like
enormous.
These were like, oh, we do this every week type of thing.
You got, like now we're doing, I'm doing three deals that are $300 million.
Yeah, when it was $30 million, you were like, if we can get $30 million deals
for
all year, it would be huge.
Yeah.
And now it's $300 million.
Since I left here, let me see, how many months is that?
Probably like 20 months, something like that.
We raised $200 million using Facebook and Instagram.
Wow.
Without spending a penny on ads.
Crazy.
$200 million from accredited and non-accredited. So everything changed after I left here. We didn't have the funds. I wasn't raising money. We started looking at how can we grow faster. I mean, literally, dude, I walked out of here just asking myself this question over and over. It's a good question if you can ask good questions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, what could I do to grow faster? And I kept going home. What could I do to grow faster, you know, without wrecking the car, you know, without damaging something, without taking risk unnecessarily? What can I do to grow faster and not violate my formula that's never let me down?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, wow, we could raise money. Me and Ryan were talking. We could raise money. You know, my wife's involved in those conversations. We could raise money. We could raise money from accredited. First thing we did was create a fund for accredited investors that make $200,000 a year. And then I'm like, you know, I need to do this for the other people, the little people, the Liz's and the Larry's and people that don't have $1 million yet. Because people were starting to hit me on social media and said,
How do I get in? Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just help wealthy people. And they're right, because my family was not wealthy. And then one day I looked at, okay, my brother can invest it with me, but two of my sisters can't. None of my cousins can. None of my nephews can. None of my nieces can. My mother couldn't invest with me.
So I can't help any of my family members.
Like, what am I doing? This is a contradiction to who I am. So we spent the money to create a fund for everybody.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
And so you guys did that. What changed in your mind? Because you were doing big deals already, you know. In the last, you were making millions, you had a thriving business, you had tons of employees, like things were growing already in 2015 to 2017.
Yeah.
Speaking on stages with huge audiences, what switched in your mind to go from $30 million to $300 million deals? And what do you think is needed for someone making $30,000 to go to $100,000 or $100,000 to $1 million?
So,
what's the switch?
The switch is, if you try to go from 30, I'll just talk about myself, right? Like, when I was trying to go from 30, and I remember when I was making $30,000, when I tried to go from 30 to 100, I just ended up with all the same problems. You know, it's like, okay, I'm making 30, let's say I'm making pies. I'm making pies and I'm making 30 pies. It's the same thing, by the way.
Yeah.
Same restrictions, a physical universe. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough dough. I don't have enough ovens. So the guy's like, I'm going to go from 30 to 100. Well, you can't do that in the space you're in.
So you need a bigger space.
But you don't have the money for a bigger space. So the trick is to create a plan around going from 30 to 300, not 100. Because the people are trying to edge into it. I'm going to go from 30 to 40, 40 to 50, 50 to 60. But what they should do is put a plan to go from 30 to 300. Because immediately you'll be like, I can't do it in my kitchen anymore.
Right.
I need more ovens. I need more money. I need help. Immediately, it unlocks you from this budget, this mentality that trapped me so long from wearing about $80 for a lavalier mic.
Right.
Literally, dude, like, I was so terrified. I damaged my throat and my lower intestines, okay, because I didn't understand. Dude, $80 in your problem.
Yeah.
I was that scared all the time. Like, a lot of people see me as a super confident guy, but I've just been scared.
What are you scared of the most?
Dude, I'm scared. I was scared of, like, okay, I got something. Now I don't know what to do with it. I figured out how to get it. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know where it should go. So
what did you get? You mean you got the money you wanted?
I got the money, or I got some recognition.
The audience.
Or I finally got a little audience, or I got one industry to know me.
And you didn't know what to do with it.
How do I keep it?
Yeah. How do you keep it?
I don't think you keep it. I think you need to multiply it.
Ooh, how do you multiply it?
You multiply it by being taking the risk to go to other industries.
Yeah. Because you started in car, you know, teaching sales for cars.
Well, everything. Before that, I started stuff that I just lost at, right? So, and again, I wasn't thinking big enough. When I was at McDonald's and I got fired from McDonald's.
Flipping burgers or chewing fries or what were you doing?
Whatever they had me do. They had me do what, you know, this is what we do, right? It's a factory. I was 16 years old and my dad had been dead 6 years. So, look, I'm uncertain. I'm 15, 16. I've just had sex for the first time.
Right.
Everything is so complicated.
Making $5 an hour at that point, whatever it was.
No, it was probably like $280.
Wow.
Yeah, but that wasn't the problem. I was grateful for the $280.
Yeah.
But I was awkward. I was not confident. I didn't know how to talk to people. I hated the job. But if somebody was to, dude, go learn this game so you can own 50 McDonald's restaurants.
Mm.
Like, if I would have had that idea, I bet you I would own a bunch of McDonald's franchises today. But I went there just for the $280.
Yeah.
Not for, hey, I want to do something. I truly think that the thing that I've suffered from the most in my life, as I look at Kobe and, you know, all these pictures of these great people, you know, dude, I just thought too small. I was worried about the $80. And I was worried about what the car dealers thought about me, that audience.
When did you start to think bigger, and how did that make you feel when you started to see like a bigger vision for your life?
I see these other guys. I see these other people doing things.
A model. You see a model of someone doing.
Mike Tyson. I was with Mike the other day, right?
Yeah.
And you know when you watch the old tapes of Mike knocking somebody out. I don't care if you're like boxing or not. You watched him in his prime at 19 years old.
Yeah, he was a machine.
People would be like, whoa. You know, or the one-arm catch, you know, the great catch. Like the greatness is always pulled at my freaking inside so hard. Like literally, I'll cry at somebody doing something great because I know it's like, dude, that's you.
Mm.
I can't catch a ball and I can't knock anybody out, but I know there's something in me that's destined to do something.
How do you know that something is in you?
Because I can hear it, dude. I can feel it. I see it, recognize it. It recognizes, it notices in other people. So how could I see that in, you know, Kobe?
Right.
Or Michael? Or the singer? That nobody knows about. This is not about celebrity, because I'm not a star-struck guy.
Yeah.
I am struck by moments. The comedian. Watching the comedian, his timing's just like perfect, dude. He's got the deal down. Like I get so moved. How could I recognize that if it's not in me?
Mm.
The same thing for like criticism of other people. Like when I see something I don't like in somebody, I know immediately, dude, there's no way for me to see that in him if I'm not, that's not in me.
Yeah.
The water on the table last night, like not being there. I'm like, how many times have I ignored somebody and not serviced them properly?
Right.
You know,
in
business, or maybe life. Somebody right now that I'm ignoring, I'm not paying enough attention to, or so, you know, that's been the thing, dude. Just that fucking, I want to be great, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know there's people that are like, oh, that's because he doesn't love himself. You know, that's the go-to thing. Me and Tyson were talking about this.
You don't love yourself. Why?
Well, why do I need to be great?
Oh.
The go-to formula is, well, dude, you don't need to be great. You should just love yourself the way you are.
Mm.
This is what Tyson was saying yesterday. The ego, Grant, the ego, you know, the ego. I said, dude, the ego saved my life.
How so?
All this other stuff, undoing, you know, trying not to be great, like hurt me a lot. Trying not to do big things was damaging to me.
How was it damaging?
Because, dude, it put me in conflict.
You mean like playing small or being
How can you? I showed up in that big truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's noisy, man. You could punch a button, it gets noisier. And that's what it was built for. It wasn't built to not be loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I was built to be loud or to be small. I don't think I was built to be quiet. Like they tell you when you were growing up, you know, be quiet, be seen, not heard, whatever the deal is.
Yeah.
You know, don't toot your own horn. And don't get too much attention and don't promote yourself. And but look, man, God was a show off, man.
Look what he created.
Didn't
stop.
He's
not quiet.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, rainbows, you know, suns, planets, like
waterfalls, everything.
Yeah, crazy, man. Like when we walk around nature and we look at all that, when I see this, whatever this is growing on your wall, that fungus.
That's fake, but yeah.
Dude, it looks good.
It looks real.
It looks real, man. It's like, you got to get a shot of that. You know, I'm like, wow, man, that's living.
Yeah.
Right? At least in my imagination.
Yeah, of course.
So.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I think we love people that are grateful and have humility, but we also love to see people do great things.
Yeah.
Is there a balance that they should have, like also be grateful and humble as opposed to kind of like the McGregor?
Dude, I love McGregor.
Yeah.
See, I like that.
That's your energy. You're on that frequency.
Who doesn't like it, dude? Look at how big the audience is.
Yeah.
You know, look at The Rock. He doesn't have little muscles.
Right. But he's got more humility, let's say, if you're
concerned. Oh, he knows how to play that game. Oh yeah. My God. I mean, there's nobody better than The Rock at that. Obama was unbelievable at that.
Yeah.
At staying connected. That's what I'm terrible at. I'm fucking awful at it. I am so bad at it.
Why?
I don't know why. I don't know why. I just know I'm bad at it.
It doesn't seem like it's affected your business success.
Oh, I'm sure it has.
You think so?
I'm sure it has, you know. I mean, it has
to.
If it slows people down from liking me. My wife tells me, Elena tells me this all the time. She's like, the reason women don't like you, Grant, is because you sound like... You don't filter anything.
Right.
And you sound like, she knows the favorite people in my life are women. My mother, I would have done anything for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was my best friend.
Yeah.
And I depended on her. And later, I was with my mother when she died.
Like, wow.
I was the one she trusted more than, I hope my family doesn't see this, but my mother trusted me, did not trust me the most when I was growing up. And when she was dying, knew that no matter what, I would be there for her.
Wow.
And I would tell her the truth. Always tell her the truth. I'm the one that, when my mom, I got a call after Sabrina. We had just had our first kid right up the block here. And then my sister Diane calls and says, you need to get here now that Sabrina's born. And so I got on a plane, flew to, this is 9 years ago, flew to Lake Charles. And I walked in, my mom's in the hospital, and I'm like, have they told you what's going on? No, what do you mean, Grant? I said, has anybody told you what's happening now? And she's like, no. I said, well, what do you think's happening? And I was the first one that had the conversation and had her, got her to say, well, I'm going to die. Wow. And I'm like, that's right. That's what's happening now.
Wow.
And it, dude, it was the hardest conversation I ever had with anybody in my life. And it was like, okay, dude, you're going to die. This is what's happening now. And my sisters didn't have the conversation with her. My brother didn't have the conversation with her. And I said, okay, that's what's happening. We got, I don't know, 12 hours, 18 hours,
wow, that's
20
it?
Hours. Huh?
That's it, huh?
Yeah, and I'm trying to take time out of this thing. I'm like, I don't want it dragging on. Because I know she doesn't want it to drag on. She'd always told me, she's like, hey, look, when we get to this place, don't let this thing drag out. I wouldn't want it to drag out.
Right. Was she in pain or was it?
No, not really. And I said, look, how do you want to die?
Wow.
Because you're going to die. That's what's happening. I know. God damn it, Grant, I know. I'm like, good. You know? She's like, I know. I know. And then she, boom, she got it now. Now it sunk in. Nobody was playing the denial game anymore. I'm f***ing just like, this is my best friend, dude. And so I'm like, how do you want to die?
Wow.
What do you mean? So I said, you want to stay here? No, because she was that kind of woman, right? She's like, I don't want to stay in this hospital. Good, where do you want to go? I want to be in my house. All right, good. Do you want me to get a car to pick you up? You want to drive home? You want me to drive you home? No, just get me in my car and drive me home.
Wow.
And then when we got to the house, I just walked her through all the pieces. Where do you want to be? Let me sit in the living room. Dude, it was fucking so hard.
Wow.
Like even today, right now saying it.
Was her body just falling apart or was her organs
yeah.
or
oh, she the in- cancer? The internal is just, yeah, it was cancer.
Yeah.
And so the organs are shutting down now. And
wow, man.
Within 10 hours, from the time I had the conversation with her, the next morning, got her in the Honda, drove her home, put her in the living room for, a couple hours, let her sit in her lazy boy. I said, okay, where do you want to finish this? And she's like, in my bed. Took her to the bedroom, and just about 11 o'clock that night, finally. And she said, about 30 minutes before she finished, she's like, I'm scared.
Wow.
And I said, well, what are you scared of? You got to hold it together, right? Because... And she says, I'm scared I can't die. She wasn't scared of dying. She was scared she couldn't. I said, dude, you can do this. You've done everything you needed to do. You did a great job.
Wow.
You don't owe anybody anything. Just rock on, man.
Wow. She was afraid that she couldn't die. Like she would drag on or...
Yeah.
And just kind of be in pain.
She wasn't scared of dying.
Yeah.
She was scared she couldn't.
Wow.
So,
you were there? Was your whole family there?
I was right there with her. Had my hand on her. No doctors in the room.
While she passed?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
so, she was my bud, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Goddamn.
What was,
I don't know.
What was the greatest lesson she taught you?
Oh, shit, man. She was just, she was a very negative person. Like I have a lot of that. Like, Ron Secco said, he says, Grant, you're a positive person. I said, dude, I am not a positive person. Like, no one should confuse me with a motivational person. Because I'm not a positive person.
Why aren't you?
Because I understand that people die.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that life is hard and that there's evil. I know there's evil. I confront, like, that's what people don't like about me, dude. Like, who says, okay, you're going to die? It's hard, man.
It's really hard to be that honest.
Dude, my dad died when I was 10. My older brother died when I was 20. So by the time I was 20, I'm like, oh, people die.
Wow.
Like, you start getting used to it. I know
not people, just your grandparent or something.
No. I know there's people I know today that have never had a death in their family. They've never experienced it.
Yeah.
And then they're shocked when their dad dies. I'm like, what'd you think was going to happen? Or their dog dies. I'm like, guys, you got a dog. It's a Great Dane. It's got a life of 11 years.
Yeah.
Hopefully it dies before you do. My kids already know, like my 7 and 9 year old, they already confront the issue of me as a body not being around one day.
Yeah.
So my mom taught me a lot, man. She taught me, you know, tried to talk me out of most everything I ever did because she was negative. She was a mother, and it's a mother.
She wanted to protect you, make sure.
A mother's 50% negative. Has to be.
Right.
You know, you're going to get a cold. Put your shoes on. Don't go out in the rain. So I had to learn how not to listen to that 50%.
You know? Wow. Was there anything that she taught you in the end or any regrets from what you had done or what you hadn't done or a promise you made to yourself after she passed where you're like, you know what, I haven't been doing what I really need to be doing here. Is there anything like that for you?
You know, not with her, you know. I mean, I told her when I was a kid, when I got clean from drugs, I said, one day I'm going to buy you a Jaguar. I never bought it for her. She called me one day. She was a funny lady. She said some football player had bought their mom a house.
Yeah.
And I was wealthy at the time. But, you know, I was living in La Jolla down the south of here. And, I'd done well. And I was still single. And she's like, so-and-so bought her mom a house. You know.
Where's my car?
I'm like, he'll end up broke, too. You ain't getting a house.
Right.
She didn't want a house. I mean, she didn't want any of that stuff.
Yeah. What does she want?
She didn't have a lot of dreams. I don't think. She lived way below her potential.
Yeah.
And that's why I understand women. You know, my mom was she was a 50s housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother lived for her children.
Yeah.
And so part of this, I think, is part of my hardness and the way I prioritize things. I know my mother made a mistake putting her kids first.
Wow.
That was a mistake for her.
Wow. What should she have done?
She should have put herself first, not us first.
Why?
Because she was more worried about five little kids than her own dreams. And I just, when I watched my dad die, left her to run everything. He died suddenly, and she never dated again.
Wow.
She was 40. She was 38. Never went on a date, dude.
Wow.
She had a stepfather, and she's like, or stepmother, and she's like, I'm not putting, giving my kids a stepmother. Everything now was about the kids. It's not enough for a human being, dude. You can't be happy just living for kids that are going to move out. You know, so.
What advice would you have to women about following their dreams?
Dude, all people, men and women, they should be more greedy about their personal dreams.
Well, what if they because say, well, I've got these five kids and I've got this responsibility and.
Yeah, you do, but you also have responsibility yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't take care of me, how can I take care of somebody else?
Yeah.
And this has always been my battle cry. Like, I have to take care of me. And how can I help anyone? I'm f***ing broken. I'm messed up. You know, I'm coming out of a treatment center for drug addiction. I didn't need to help anybody else. I needed to get on solid ground. You know, and I needed to make sure I wasn't going back to treatment. And then I needed to clean up the mess that I made. I needed to do this for me because, and that has been my contention now for many years. Like, just keep slowly taking care of your neighborhood until you're in another zip code.
Yeah. Wow. Is there anywhere in your life right now that is still broken or still a mess that you need to take care of first?
I let them go. I'm like, okay. I was having this conversation with Jamie yesterday. And I said, but dude, I don't do that. Because he's got this person. He's like, oh, she's got so much potential. And I'm like, yeah, I don't do that deal. I don't handle people with potential. I handle people that want to change.
Yeah.
So I would rather somebody that wants to say, hey, what do? I'll do it. Then somebody's got a bunch of potential and won't do it.
Right.
What you tell them.
But your own personal life, do you feel like there's anything that's broken inside of you still that you need to work on every day?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like you've kind of...
I'm not working on the broken stuff, I mean, of me, you know, but because I have, thankfully, I've repaired a lot of stuff. And I'm not dealing with... I mean, I got a lot of help along the way, so...
Yeah.
Some of the all that broken stuff and the doubt and the not sureness, even though there's still me playing small is all doubts, right? You know.
What do you doubt right now?
Well, I'm just saying, like, since the last time I left, I'm like, okay, we were going to build a $1 billion business. We're at $1.2 billion now.
Now you're like, all right.
I'm like, I'm going to 10.
Why aren't you at 10? Sure. Yeah, why aren't you at 10?
Now I'm starting to question, goddamn, maybe I just go to 20. Like, because now all of a sudden.
Or 30.
Or 30 maybe. Because now the game gets so big that I can truly make a difference. We're talking about hospital difference, countries. Like, you can make a difference. When you start hanging out with billions of dollars of control, you can make
difference. Poverty in a location.
You can start influencing the people that have the resources to do the influencing.
So what's the mindset that's going to take you from $1.2 billion now to $10 billion by the end of this year and then $30 billion by the end of next year?
That's not physically. I can't move that fast, right? That would be. There does need to be.
Increments?
Yeah, there does.
Why?
Because.
That's playing small to me.
Because there has to be foundations, right? There has to be.
You can't just leapfrog that far. Without doing the work, without laying the groundwork.
Yeah, and I'm in a physical universe, right? I could do it if I didn't have a body.
Right.
The body, the other people's bodies, their thoughts, their ideas. I'm dealing with a lot of other people. They have times and they go home, you know, at 6
o'clock.
Think about
it forever, yeah.
Okay. Or, I'm dealing with other institutions that go a lot slower because they're getting conservative now. They don't want to lose.
Yeah.
Time unfortunately is
from 1 to 10. What's the goal? 10 billion by the end of what?
I think what's real. I think what's real.
Not what's
is,
real.
Because I could be at 2 billion in 2020 for sure. I can open January 2020.
That just sounds small. That just sounds like you're already at 1.2. It just sounds tiny compared to what Grant Cardone is capable of.
No, but these are enormous, dude.
This sounds tiny, though. It's just in the
$2 billion sounds tiny.
At this level for you, it does sound tiny.
I drove a Camry till I was 35 years old.
Yeah, but you're 61 and you've been leapfrogging for years now.
Yeah.
It just seems small.
Wow.
I mean, not small. It's huge for me, but where you're at.
I think we could be at 10 billion in 5 years, though.
Grant Cardone and I think of the empire you've built.
But you understand how much money you're talking about now? You're talking about Blackstone.
It's just a number.
Blackstone has $12 billion of assets.
People have money. You just need to get people to open their wallet and say, here it is. You just need to find the people with the money.
I need a bigger team. I don't need to find them. They're already there.
You know the people that have money.
The whole world has money.
Okay, so you just need a bigger team.
So I need a bigger team.
How big of a team do you need?
My team probably needs to be 100 plus.
What are you at, like 50 right now or 30?
Well, it depends on what. But if you're just talking about the real estate, right? But, I got 13 other deals that I'm running. So
it just sounds small to me.
Thank you, man.
But you know what I mean?
Thank you so much.
It does.
Thank you.
You're Grant Cardone. You're not someone who says, I think I could get to 10 billion by 2024.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
You know?
Well, maybe if I quit doing podcasts.
So you need a bigger team, so you need to be a higher fat. It takes time. It takes,
You know, like.
I love how he gets fidgety in the seat. He's like.
I'm like, it's like Mike Tyson. I was with Tyson. He's like, well, so what do you want to do? You know, in his voice. Hey, what do you want to do, Grant? And I'm like, I want to meet 7 billion people.
Yeah.
And immediately, we should get you some of this tape. It's freaking fascinating. He's like, how many have you met so far? I'm like, not enough, man, but you're going to help me, Mike.
Right.
You know, because he knows a lot of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know him.
Yeah.
You know, part of it is just getting the word out, too. Like, nobody knows I exist.
Small amount of people is what you're saying. Yeah.
So tiny, dude.
Millions, not billions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody knows me. Yeah. And even the people that know me don't. They're not thinking about me right now.
So how do you become more known in the next year or 2 years?
You know, doing things like what I'm doing right now. You know, getting on on your podcast, getting known, getting collaborating, working with other people like you have on this wall that are influencers and that want to work together.
Yeah. I'm curious, what do you think your superpower is? You're one of the best in the world at.
Yeah.
And how does someone find out what their superpower is if they're like, I have no clue?
I think your superpowers, like my superpower is probably, what do you think mine is? I'm gonna write mine down. What I think it is, okay? But I want to hear what you think mine is, and I'd love to hear what the people think mine is. Everybody's got one, but at least one, maybe many. I know I have one.
I'm trying to think of what you would write down. I think what you would write down is your belief system, is your superpower. It's like the way you think, your mindset, this like 10X mindset, this belief system of what's possible. That's what I think you would write down. What I was thinking before that was your ability to enroll people in your vision.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Like your ability to just be relentless about your vision and speak it into the world one-to-one, one-to-many, and say, buy into this, buy into me, buy into my books, buy into my events, buy into my Cardone Capital, buy into the vision of what I'm about.
Interesting you said that.
So those two things. There's one, the internal belief system of like, okay, what could I do to 10X? And not allowing the fear to keep you playing small, except for I feel like you might be a little right now, as opposed to 10 billion. But what did you write down?
I wrote.
Was I close?
I wrote persistence.
Persistence, yeah. So the relentless.
Yeah, I mean, once I decide I'm going to do something, it's like the chances of me letting go of something that's important to me, a friend, like I am either the best or worst friend a person has.
Why?
Because if you and I are in a club and something goes down, I will be there swinging it out. Okay, I have no chance of winning the fight. I can only be a distraction to the thing.
Throwing a bottle.
But you're not going to see me just run.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I'm not going to run for my dreams. Like, I'm not going to run for my kids. I'm not going to run from Elena. I'm not going to, there's nothing Elena could do to cause me to like run away from her.
Really?
No.
If she treats you horrible every day, screams at you, tries to pull you back from your dreams, threatens to take your kids from you.
Yeah.
Threatens to ruin you in some way.
I mean, none of that will happen, right?
Okay.
But
something else you're saying, yeah.
But she could cheat on me. I don't think that would cause me to run away. I'd have to figure out.
Because it'd be your fault?
Yeah, totally.
I remember you saying that before. Totally. Why would it be your fault if your wife cheats on you?
Well, because what would allow her to get interested in something else? I wasn't paying attention to her. There's something was out. I had to know it. Nobody's ever betrayed me that I didn't know beforehand they were going to betray me. There's always a sign. Mm-hmm. It's not intuition either. People are like, oh, I knew, you know, I had this feeling. It's not intuition. You saw something happen. There was something you saw happen. There was some minute little movement.
The energy.
Probably a physical thing. Like if you could just go back and look at what did the person do.
The sign.
Or say or do to somebody or not do. Maybe they didn't do something that was consistent with what just happened. And you took that piece of data and filed it, and then you disregarded it. I've always known. Every time I've ever been with somebody that, like, got over on me, I'm like, you know, I knew that shit was going to happen, dude. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm surprised. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't acknowledge it.
Pay attention or have the conversation I needed to
have. Or sit down and talk to them about it, right? And so I think, you know, me, one thing is persistence. Two is definitely, I understand math extremely well. I understand numbers. Numbers have always been friendly to me, particularly multiplication and division. So that's a superpower I have.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean by numbers, how that's a superpower for you? Why is that?
I just understand them. They're very, like, I did a two-day seminar after the 10X Growth Conference. We did 3 days, and then I did two more days right behind that. On real estate to about 100 people. Mm-hmm. For 16 hours total, I was living in this, what was to like the matrix to me, a formulas, like literally, like
while you were presenting.
I wasn't in my body for 16 hours.
Wow.
For 2 days, I was not in my body. I was completely exteriorized because I was in this topic that I understand so well. And it's formulas, it's in values and money and why something works and like algebra. It was all these numbers written on a wall behind me and a chalkboard, and I was living in them. And so I don't know where it comes from or why I have it or whatever, but I know that's a superpower. And the other one is the ability to know when something's right and say, yeah, we're going to do that or no. Like really fast decisions.
Why are people so slow on making decisions in life, business, relationships? Why don't they commit on something?
Because I think this is that conversation about why you guys need to go talk to each other about, we're going to buy the car. Am I going to get a training session? Should I buy that?
Should we move?
Lewis has got a $300 program. The woman has to go talk to her husband to buy a $300 program.
Or vice versa, yeah.
Or the guy's got to talk to her.
His wife, yeah.
Because you guys don't trust each other. Mm. But mostly you don't trust yourself.
Wow.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game. Or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
There's no way I'm going to talk to Elena. I'm not going to stop, ladies, and call Elena and say, baby, I bought I did a $140 million deal. What do you think? Now, I got a buddy, him and his wife talk about every real estate transaction they do. He doesn't get any.
He doesn't get any what?
He doesn't get the deals.
Oh, really?
They're too busy talking about the real estate deal.
Someone else made the deal.
I'm buying it.
You're right. Wow.
I don't call Elena. Elena, I tell Elena we bought it. She's like, great, man. Let's go do another one.
She trusts you.
She trusts me, dude. She trusts the plan. She understands I'm a genius on this. Well, she
right. This is your superpower.
This is my superpower.
She's not going to question your superpower.
Exactly, man. Batman does not consult Superman. Mm-hmm. Right? He's like, go get it, bro.
Fly over there. Go save the world.
He can't fly. Batman can't fly, right? Like, he can. It's my superpower. Elena has her superpowers.
And she probably doesn't consult you on.
She never consults me on them.
Yeah.
Never talk. I don't even know what she's doing. I don't even understand what it is. She's bouncing on a ball, and she does this. She's going to hate that I said this, okay? But I'm convinced that her bouncing on the ball is why she stays in such good shape. And she is thinking. Her world is very ethereal. It's almost like she doesn't live in the physical universe. What would that be called? In Hollywood, they have a name for it. The muse. Uh-huh. She's the muse. She's the magician.
Yeah.
You know, she lives in a world of, like, I don't even know what she's doing in it. Like, it's all magic, dude.
Right.
You know, it's some kind of, like, postulation. Mm. Imagination, and it's not about her. Mm-hmm. It's about us. It's about something bigger. It's about people we're going to meet, places we're going to go. Elena has provided me, come up with so many brilliant ideas that I would have never thought, because I'm in effort, right? My superpower is persistence and push and that relentless. Hers is not any of that.
It's brainstorming, it's vision.
She's like, oh, he's exhausted at 5 hours of an event. Grant, why don't you just do 4 hours? Hmm. Keep the price the same.
You never thought of it that way.
Never thought about it. I never thought, I'm going to cut it from 8 hours to 4 hours. And then what happened was I went out to it was a product that we had that I used to deliver. And I said, guys, we're going to do a 4-hour event. Twice the people showed up. And we didn't have to reduce the price.
Wow.
And that was Elena, because I would have never thought of it.
Yeah. Here's 2 questions. One, where do you think you'd be without being married to the right partner?
Yeah.
Currently, because you're 61, is that right?
Yeah.
where would you be? Would you be building as big of a business, an empire, without having the right married partner in your life? Could you do it single?
Well, one, I think I'd be miserable. You know, because I remember being single and I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
I was with somebody all the time.
But you weren't happy.
I always had somebody. But I was miserable, dude, because I didn't have the right person. And
how did you know it was the right person for you then?
Well, I thought it was just because of the way she's mocked up. It's just her physical unit was like, okay, that's my deal. And then the way she kind of like her attitude was fit for me, her confidence. Mm-hmm. And her vulnerability, you know, I liked all that. But where would I be? I mean, dude, I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing.
What would you be doing?
I think 50%. I mean, unless we get a divorce and I got to go to prenuptial, the whole, you know, she wants 50%. Which, by the way, I would tell her, hey, dude, you can't take 50 of this. This is ridiculous. But she has definitely contributed to this expansion, yeah. Right? Right? That because I never imagined I would be where I am today.
Really?
Oh no.
What did you imagine? I'm going to make a couple million bucks a year. And
yeah, I'd have money. Never thought like at this level, ever.
So you think your wife?
I bought a street up the. I bought a house up the street. I guess 15 years ago.
On Doheny, right?
Yeah, I was worried I couldn't pay for it.
Wow.
Oh yeah, the jet wasn't my idea. That was Elena's idea. We paid for that. The first jet in the first year. Never dreamed.
How long have you been married?
15 years.
15 years.
It's Elena, but it's also us having a commitment to self-improvement, too. It was like, that's the other thing that we did together. We were working on ourselves. We were taking care of each of our 24 inches or whatever, 36 inches from, you know, she would take care of her left and right shoulder down to her feet and clean up her thing. Mm-hmm. And I did mine. And we did that at the
together
same time.
Too.
Together.
What was the thing that you needed to clean up the most since you got married? And same for her.
I needed to get rid of a lot of ideas.
Like what?
Just all these false ideas, dude, that I had accumulated from high school, from family, from
what are two
counselors.
Or two or three of them. What were they?
There's thousands of them. Money. I was completely f***ed up about money. Even though I had money.
In what way? What was the thing?
Save money. I was saving money all the time.
As opposed to investing money.
Now I use it all.
Yeah.
I don't save anything.
You empty it. Well, you probably have 6 months of like runway for paying living expenses or something.
No, I don't have any of that. I don't need it because I got the cash flow. So,
oh, right. You got money coming in every day.
Cash flow is going to take care of me for like, that's the thing that people have only gotten half the formula right. They're like, oh, you need 6 months of reserves. No, you don't need it. Oh, you got to have life insurance. No, you don't need that either. You don't need any of that if you have cash flow coming in. The money thing I was screwed up on, I did a retirement account when I was 19 years old that was completely unnecessary. I bought life insurance when I was 21 years old. That was stupid. I was planning on dying or something. I don't know what I was thinking about. Time, how to manage time. You know, that I had all these ideas about time and that so many bad ideas I've had. You know, work. You got to work hard. Raising money. That raising money was going to be, you know, cause me problems. I'd be unhappy married.
Really?
The kids were going to take away from me. All these were ideas that I had, you know? Mm.
What's been the greatest joy about being married and the biggest challenge?
The biggest joy, the challenge is probably easier, but the biggest joy is the kid. I mean, certainly having the kids.
And you thought the kids would take you away from your dreams or your business or...
Dude, I remember being scared that I just, the responsibility, man.
It's one of my fears.
Like, God damn.
That's someone's life in your hands.
Yeah.
And what happened when you had kids?
I got more of everything.
Really?
You know, I got more time. I don't know how I actually got more time. Uh-huh. Because I had this new thing to play with. And I'm like, man, I was so excited about this new thing. I got up earlier.
Wow.
So I would get up an hour earlier because she needed sleep. She was exhausted. Elena. And I would grab Sabrina and I would take her to Pavilions every morning.
Right down the street.
Every morning. And we'd walk the grocery store.
No way. She was, I love pavilions.
Yeah, I love it. She was 3 months old, man. And I take her in the swimming pool every day. My first daughter, at 9 months old, I could take and put my foot on her at the bottom of the pool, and she would be down there just cool as could be, dude.
Just because you were training her how to swim.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, by the time she was a year old, she could hold on to my around my neck, and we could swim the length of the pool underwater.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and we are, me and her are so connected, much more than Scarlett and myself. Just a different, completely different vibe.
So having a kid broke a limitation.
Dude, it broke a limitation about time, that I wasn't going to have time, and that it was going to be like, and then the responsibility thing, I realized that, like, I am a great dad. I make time. Hey, Pop, I want to go bike riding. Okay, let's go get the bikes. Like, I have figured out, I don't know, I just don't say no to them, and I figure out, let's go do it, you know?
Would you have kids
sooner? The plane, I don't think I would have the jet if it wasn't for the kids, because I needed the jet so that I could spend time with the kids.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people think the jet's for you, but the jet really created a situation where I could spend more time with Elena and the kids. Otherwise, I'd be on an Airbus somewhere.
Right.
And I couldn't bring them. So, you know, we're on our way to Rome, Bucharest, Dubai,
Russia,
Singapore, yeah. Malaysia, and they're going to be with me the entire time.
Wow.
That's the good thing was the expansion, right, of the marriage. And then the hard thing, dude, is just
challenge.
Like, huh?
The challenge.
Yeah, the challenge is like, you're both aging, which is a real deal. See, that women will not like hearing that me even mentioning.
Yeah. How is that? And what does that mean? What's the challenge with
that? Well, even the kids, man. You see the kids growing up.
Fast.
You don't want them to grow up because you know what that means about you.
You're getting older.
You're dying. You ain't getting older. You're dying.
Wow.
You know, my mom didn't die that night. She'd been dying. So where am I at? You know, if something happens and I die next week, well, the reality is I was dying right here. Like, that's the life cycle. So watching the kids, I'm being reminded of my life cycle, my termination date on this unit, you know?
Right, right.
On the G unit.
On this life. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And then watching my wife, and then us having to, like, change what we want to do. You know, when you first meet and you're all excited and you want to do sex and, you know.
Travel and play.
Yeah. I mean, I bought that house up the hill and we were 30 days, maybe 45 days before closing, and we would sneak into the house. We were kids, man. We were like, and we're both firecrackers, right? So we would sneak into the house, have sex in the house. Okay, we were crazy, dude.
Yeah.
We didn't own the house yet. We were just like blessing the place
right.
Before closing, right? And this was so exciting to us.
Yeah.
And we, Elaine and I had those kind of things together where we would just have a blast, right? Well, as you get older, you know, and more responsible, you start raising money. You probably don't want to be in, you know, seen doing some of these things,
right?
And we live in a different world today. So, you know, we got through 2008, 9, 10. That was really hard. That was really good for us, actually.
Because you lost all your money, a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. It was terrifying. And I lost a lot of my sense of
confidence, or
well, that I had underestimated the reality of taking care of a wife and two kids. This was the first big loss I had since being a father and a husband.
Mm.
And I was like, wait a minute, I was still calculating based on Grant,
not a whole family.
I got a kid,
four people, yeah.
Two kids. I got a wife. My reputation's starting to expand a little bit. I just got whacked. And I don't want to keep doing this. Like, I know a lot of people say they learn from their losses, but I get better because of my successes. I don't need a lot of kryptonite moments. I'm not interested in those.
Yeah. It just takes longer to grow again
to
get back to where you want to be.
You know, Mike told me something the other day in the hot box. He says, you know, because he started thinking differently about some of the stuff I was saying to him.
Mm.
And he said, I said, you know, Mike, I know you blame, you know, you think your success is what hurts you, but I guarantee if you look back, those first fights you were winning, everything brightened up in your life when you started winning in life. Hey, Grant, you know, my grades got better.
Mm. You got more confidence.
Dude, of course. He even learned better. I said, you know, I don't learn from losses. I learn from successes. And then I try to repeat those things.
Do more of those things that are succeeding.
And then
succeeding.
Get the bucket gets bigger.
Yeah.
Right? The rim gets bigger. The field goal gets bigger, right? Everything gets bigger. It's easier to make the shot because I have the wins. And I think I feel so bad for people, particularly around money, that they never have the victories back to back, enough victories to be like, wow, what else could I do? And so Elena has given me that. I would not have that if I was by myself. You know, and the beautiful thing that we have that unfortunately I see a lot of people not, we just don't fight about some stuff that people fight about.
Like what? The silly stuff that's not important in your minds?
I mean, I just see a lot of guys like, he wants to be on social media and she doesn't. Well, we've never even had that conversation. Like, we're on.
Right.
We're going someplace, yeah. Right? It's not about Facebook or Instagram. She does it different than I do, and there's things that like irritate me about, you know. But we're not. There's things we just don't fight about.
Yeah. What do you fight about?
We probably fight about. Let me see what we fight about. It's the same shit over and over, right? It's always the same stuff. Like she, we moved rooms into a different room at the hotel today, and I'm like, how much is this room, Elena? And she's like, I don't know. And I knew she didn't ask.
Yeah, she said, I want this.
She's just like, okay, we're in a bungalow. We stayed longer. That room's sold out, so they need to move us to another room. They move us to this penthouse room. I'm like, how much is this?
It's $5,000 a night or something.
And she's like, it doesn't matter, right? What matters is she doesn't know. Now, this is a game that I play with her. And it's not a fun game. It's a game that nobody wins at.
What's the game?
And the game is, how much is the room? I know she didn't ask because I know she does not have... That's not her style.
Superpower either.
Dude, she's not going to ask the guy. I just realized that today as I'm sitting here telling you. I'm like, she's never going to ask how much. And I keep asking her to ask. But it makes her feel bad.
Why do you care to ask her that?
Because I know that with money, you should ask. How much is this?
Even if you have an abundance.
Because one day I'm not going to be here. Mm-hmm. And she's going to get ripped off.
Wow.
Okay? Her magic will get... Her magic powers will be taken advantage of because she lives in this ethereal. She's a bit naive, and she would admit that. And I think
it's more of a principle than it is like the
money. Totally. Yeah, it's totally.
You'd probably pay for it anyways, no matter what the price is.
I should have asked. Right. I didn't ask the guy either, for the same reason, by the way. Right. You know, so it's this embarrassing thing. How much is the room? You know, it's like, what do we argue about? We argue about that. We argue about, you know, she takes the kids off of sugar, and the next thing you know, she's giving them sugar. Mm. It's all right when she does it, but it's not all right when I do it. Right. You know, so that's a bit of a bother. But nothing terrible, dude. Yeah. Like,
what's the keys?
I'll tell you another one, okay? She goes down to this place. She goes down to this place and works out in the morning. It's a long drive. Mm. Dumb shit, dude. It's always dumb
shit. You got a sick gym right in your building. Or right
down
exactly. The street.
Yeah. And she goes down the street, it's 25 minutes. I'm like, dude, it's so dumb to go all the way down there. Have him come to you.
Right. Pay an extra $20 or whatever, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Makes sense.
The things that she doesn't like about me, I mean, you'd have to ask her, but right. I'm sure it's an endless
list. What's the three keys to, if like you had to say for any couple that was going to get married, like make sure you do these three things if you want to have as much of a chance of being fulfilled and love and the passion and the, you know, everything that could thrive in a marriage. What would be the three things you think are the most important for you both to be able to live your dreams and have the family you want and everything?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I shouldn't give people advice on that.
For you, what would you say are the three keys to your relationship then? What makes it work so well?
I always do what I say I'm going to do. I never don't do what I say I'm going to do. I tell you, I'm going to do something, I'll do it.
So you follow your word to her?
Always.
No matter what it is, yeah.
You know, she doesn't, not only do I do it then, right then. Like, I don't put it off. So I would tell guys out there, at least, I would tell anybody, I don't think it matters whether you're a guy or a gal, do what you say you're going to do and do it as fast as you can. You know, don't add time. Mm-hmm. Because if you're adding time, you're not doing it.
Right.
You're doing something else.
Second thing?
Number two is...
That you do. That works well.
Yeah. You know, I take care of my family, man. I think that's important.
financially, spiritually, emotionally.
I make things go right so that they're taken care of. I think that's more for me though than them.
Yeah.
Just to be completely honest. I mean, I want to feel good about me. You know, so I know everybody, oh, I take care of my family. He's such a good provider. He's doing that for himself.
Like, right, to make you feel good.
I'm not. So the third thing is, I think sex is important.
Yeah. I hear that a lot from married couples.
You know,
once the sex is gone and it dies, it's like
you need to hit it, even if you don't want to.
Right. So how do you get? Okay,
I'm just saying, like, you know, when she's in the mood, and you need to turn it on, dude. You need to light up the house.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about, you know, it's about get your game on.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of relationships, if you played the other games in life or business, if you applied those rules, if you did the same thing in the bedroom, right? Or, mm-hmm. or you tried to do some of the bedroom, I don't feel like it tonight. I got a headache. I got a period. I'm tired. Dude, if you did that in business, you'd be broke.
Right.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang and a Lufsen sound system, and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours today at Acura.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
So your relationship is broke too. Your marriage is broke.
Well, like there's no way you can't do something at work. You're doing it, by the way. If you're doing that in the bedroom, you're doing it on the phone.
Right.
During your day.
Your sales calls and stuff.
Yeah. I say always arise to the occasion.
Right.
You know?
Okay. I like it. Here's something. I went through some stuff recently where I got a lot of critiques and haters.
Yeah.
And I know you're-
I know a lot about these.
And you're used to this. You rub people the wrong way. You say what you feel, what you think. And, you know, some people don't like that, right? So how do you handle that? If there's just a barrage of like negative comments, this guy's a scam, this guy's horrible, this guy's a liar, rude, whatever they say.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're saying. How do you deal with?
Well, it depends on whether it's like, if it's false and somebody's trying to hurt me, that's different than if it's got some truth in it.
Mm. So if it's false and someone's trying to hurt you,
I'm going to crush them, dude.
How so?
If they're trying to hurt me, my reputation, my name, my money, like, I'm going to fucking crush them. I'm going to call them out.
Uh-huh. Publicly.
Publicly call them out. I'm going to take them on straight up. I'm going to make it known that they made this claim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I know things that go on. I'm going to confront it.
Wow.
I'm going to confront the fucking devil.
Wow. Okay.
Evil, man. It's evil.
Yeah.
Like, it's evil, dude. Evil exists.
Yeah, it does.
People don't even know they're doing it. I'm not talking about the Taliban. I'm not talking about, you know, some bad group of people. I'm talking about people, friends, sisters, cousins, people that work for you, dude. They're good for like 7.5 hours a day, and for 30 minutes, dude, they take on this evil valence.
if you don't crack them, then they'll do it an hour the next time.
Mm-hmm.
People in this internet influencer space, it's very, very small space, yeah. You know, the or any space, whatever. I'm sure the NFL has it, the NBA has it. You know, these guys have these great moments and then they go evil for a second. Somebody on the team needs to say, hey, man, dude, you got to knock it off.
Right. And what if it's just negative comments of just...
Yeah, I mean, like somebody on my stream.
Yeah.
They're providing you with fodder, though. There's so much good data there, dude.
Does it ever affect you emotionally?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am a weak person. Like, I would love everyone to love me.
Right. I remember saying this.
Of course, I mean, I would like everybody to like me more, you know? But it's just not, it's never going to happen.
So how do you handle it when it affects you emotionally? Do you... just sit back and breathe for a minute? Do you reflect? Do you talk to your wife? Do you go for a jog?
I never tell her about it. She can't handle it. Like, it's not good for her.
Because it'll hurt her.
Yeah. So they call her a gold digger, right?
Yeah.
And then my response to them is, dude, you need to find a gold digger. Because if you're the only one digging and she's not.
That's great.
She's
digging with you.
See, I use it. Right. I roll with it.
Wow.
What is that? Like the karate
Tai Chi
move, right?
It's like moving with it. Yeah.
It's move with the energy, dude. Yeah. It's got all this juice on it.
Yeah.
People call me a show off. Like, I use it now.
Mm.
I get to it before they do.
Yeah, you're like, look, God showed off. Yeah, I'm just trying to be more like that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You know, so today I did a post on Instagram. You know, Elena's at the plane. She did this photo shoot for LA Magazine or LA Style Magazine, and the post is, now we are showing off.
Right.
So there's a lot of good in the criticism or the brokenness, whether it's just character defects or whatever. There's probably some truth in it. So it's like,
how do you handle that emotionally? And how do you not let it consume your mind for too long where you're like not doing what you want to do? Like, how do you personally deal with it? Not obsessing over
if anything, some of it's that's just not, it's just mean, right? Some of it's mean. It's not meant to really cause any damage. There's just meanness, you know? Those people, what I'm going to do is I'm going to probably try to see if I can harness some of that energy and show them, like, really put it in their face.
How so?
Like, okay, watch how big I can get.
Yeah. So your ego gets involved and you're like, I'm
a little bit, sure. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like, okay. These guys that sued me back in 10, you know, and it was completely malicious. Totally frivolous.
Isn't that the worst thing when you get a... something that's just coming after you and you just have to deal with it? Even though when it's wrong,
it's happening all
lies,
the time.
These people come after you.
The go-to movement, some of that was legitimate.
Yeah.
Some of it was not.
Yeah.
Like people accusing people of doing stuff that wasn't done.
And just spreading lies.
Totally. Making accusations about people that aren't true, that are completely fabricated. Like that does
I had someone do that to me.
Yeah.
And it's like evil.
Evil, dude.
Because there's nothing. There's no proof. And
that person's convinced.
I'm like, please show me the proof.
Yeah, yeah.
Show me where I did something.
Yeah.
You can't just say what you want.
Yeah.
And then people...
You kind of can, though.
You can, that's the thing that pisses me off. Someone can say what they want right now and just people believe it.
Yeah.
Without having any facts or hearing another side of the story or getting nothing. It's messed up, man.
It is.
Messed up.
And it is. And it's like, how do you use it though, right? Yeah. So like that lawsuit, I didn't, you know, until this happens to a person, they're not going to know it's real.
It's true.
Waterboarding's not real to you until you put the rag on your face.
And this is what people need to understand. You need to be prepared for attacks.
Dude, it is going to happen.
When you expand your vision and your empire and your dreams, get ready, because now everyone's going to come after you.
Yeah.
Or not everyone, but it's going to happen at some point.
It's coming. It's coming.
And whether it's valid or not.
Yeah, it's going to come from places that you don't even imagine.
Completely unexpected.
Closer to you than you might have expected.
It's happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
how should people prepare for
that? Well, when that lawsuit, I'll tell you what I did with that lawsuit.
Because you never had experience with that. You didn't know how to deal with this.
The bill's $200,000 a month. I'm defending. I'm like, I'm telling my lawyer. I about hired the best lawyer. I'm like, dude, I didn't do this.
That's not true.
He's like, it doesn't matter. Dude, we still got to defend it.
It's the worst. And you don't get the money back.
Why do I need to go to a deposition?
And you don't get the money back.
No, there's no, it's all a loser thing. Man. You know? He's like, Grant, you should just pay this guy. Fuck, I ain't paying this guy, man. Later, like 15 months into the deal, I'm like, I should have just paid the guy.
Right.
Well, the only way I could actually get even later was to, like, I'm going to get so big This was the best money I ever spent in my life, dude. Cost me a couple $1 million, plus about, I lost $9 million in the deal.
Plus never time, recovered that. Energy, plus the time life,
and
health.
The stress. Had to take 3 or 4 years off my life.
Oh my gosh.
And but at the end of it, I told Lane, I said, I'm gonna get so f***ing big. This guy, every night, every morning he's gonna wake up, he's gonna have to see me.
Wow.
Okay. Ralph and Rob.
Wow.
And so for you guys, like you're like, he's so aggressive. Yeah, I'm trying to prove something. Right? I'm trying to show guys that the bad guys. That, like, you know what? You picked the wrong pony, dude.
Wow.
You should have bet on me.
Wow.
And you didn't. You bet against me.
And now look at you. If you would have bet on me, look what we could have done together.
They ended up losing a lawsuit.
Oh, wow.
But where they really lost was that every day now, they got to be reminded. Lady Gaga talked about that.
Really? What'd she say?
She was, how many people counted her out?
Now they're all wishing they would have bet on her.
Yeah. And that's not a revenge thing. I know it sounds like a low grade kind of retaliation.
Ego revenge, yeah.
But
because I don't think revenge is sustainable long term. Like the energy it takes to be revenge.
Yeah, well, this has been 15 years. It's been working pretty good for me. But you know, I think how do you use it? You know, so that it doesn't consume you.
Yeah, exactly.
And how do you keep using it?
Yeah.
You know, and in a healthy way.
You're not trying to harm someone, yeah.
Yeah, no, and they were trying to harm me.
Right.
But it really woke me up to, hey, man, you need to have a budget for fabricated fucking bullshit.
Craziness.
You need to have, people should have budgets. This is the money thing that people need to confront. People need to have budgets for like all kind of crazy shit.
Yeah, even just emergencies for their life, like their car or this, their home, something breaks down, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Health insurance.
Or how about, what if the internet goes down tomorrow?
Right.
Your business is screwed.
Not that screwed. I mean, you got other stuff going on.
Well, no, if the internet goes down, you're not going to
be able to. I guess the podcast, yeah.
You're not going to be able to go to Whole Foods and buy food. You're not going to be able to go to.
Well, I got money, but yeah.
No, cash. You're going to need cash. What if it goes down for 5 or 6 days at a time, right?
Right.
So where do people go get money? The bank's going to be closed.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The bank's closed.
Yeah, I got no cash, yeah.
The credit card's no good.
It's all like,
but how many people, I know a guy up the street, he's got $20 million worth of Apple stock. He's got a house that's paid for. It's probably worth $30 million. If the internet collapsed today, he could not. I was telling him this other
day.
In 5 days, he's busted.
Yeah.
He doesn't have money.
Yeah.
He doesn't have cash. He can't get it. You can't trade your house for Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people in America walking around saying, everything's going to be fine. We're going to have electricity. We're going to have gas. We're going to have
water. Look at Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
people. They couldn't even leave the island. They were stuck. Couldn't get food, no water for months.
Yeah.
Unless they were super wealthy and had like a private jet.
Could escape.
How do you build a culture of success around a team when you left 2010-ish and moved?
Here, yeah.
And moved, probably had a small team.
Six people.
Yeah. And then you go to Miami and build an empire over the last, you know, 8-9 years, whenever you started doing that 7-8 years ago. How do you build from small team to this large team now with a culture of success after you come from like a busted experience?
We have probably grown the staff 50 times since leaving LA. Leaving LA was one of the best things I ever did. As much as I like the weather here. And
What do you mean you grew it 50 times? What does that mean?
Well, we're 300 employees.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So we had six here. The problem with six is you're dependent upon four broken people. If you're not one of them.
Right.
I hate being dependent upon broken people.
Mm.
I want partnerships where I feel good. Like, I got some really good people around me.
Yeah.
People say this to us all the time. Man, you got a lot of good people around you.
Yeah, you do.
I got people that people want to hire away, you know, and they're untouchable. They're not going anyplace.
Yeah.
So
how do you put that culture of people that
you
got to
get rid
you?
Of people.
Yeah.
You got to add and get rid of.
Yeah.
You have to flush. You don't flush.
How do you deal with that emotionally when you're building a team?
I don't get rid of anybody.
You don't do it.
I'm a tough guy and all that, but I don't think I've ever fired anybody.
Right.
I say Sherry, fire him. Right. Made the call today. Said, hey, that guy's got to go.
And then it's gone.
I don't want him.
Gone today. Come by the end of the week. How's it?
When I get back, I don't want him there.
Wow.
So it's a mistake. We made a mistake. Sherry, you know it. I know it.
I don't want the mistake. I don't want to second guess myself when I'm around somebody.
Wow.
So, how do you know? When I got somebody on my team, I don't mind second guessing the other side. I cannot afford to second guess my side.
Mm.
Whether it's my lawyer, accountant,
yeah.
a partner in a deal, I can't have people second guessing our playbook. Because I already got enough. It's already hard enough.
You got so many decisions you got to make all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So while people are worried about the other side, I'm worried about our side more than the other side.
How do you know when you've hired the right person? How do you hire
them? I never know that.
So you do your best
I
and
never
you find
know
out within
right
a
person.
Month.
Yeah, but they could go bad. I've had guys go bad. I've had guys that, you know, they've been with us 3 years. They're superstars. They're doing great. But also when you see those graphs coming down, we graph everybody. So everybody's on a graph.
What do you mean? You're charting, ranking, your...
Calls out, emails out, proposals made if they're in sales, sales made, income brought in. But if it's a personal assistant, targets achieved, task done, emails handled, whatever it is their job is, right? If it's sweeping, we graph it all. If it was sweeping, how many hallways did you sweep, doorways did you sweep, trash bags did you collect, blah, blah, blah. When that graph goes down to it, you got a guy that's already quit. You can't keep a graph erected up, moving up, if the guy's checked out.
Do you feel like that's your responsibility to, you know, maybe you weren't paying attention, just like in your relationship, if your wife checked out, is that also a responsibility for you to say, oh, maybe I wasn't giving them what they needed or the incentive or the encouragement, or I don't know.
Nah. It's them. It's never me.
It's never you.
I need to keep my own graph up.
Mm.
So I just keep spiking my graph, right? My graph keeps going up. I become the role model for the organization. Mm-hmm. Then I got Sherry. She's got her graph. She keeps her graph going up. Jared needs to do his deal. Secco needs to do his deal. Graph it all, man, because the numbers don't lie.
Does your graph ever go down?
Yeah.
For
a
week, a month?
Yeah, it goes down. Quarter. It doesn't normally go down that long. Because what I do is I watch it. When it goes down, I pick it up again. So whatever picked it up the last time, I go back and hit that graph again. I go back and hit that action.
What's the system you guys use for the graphing or the... Is it a software? Is it an internal thing? Is it
It's simple. I mean, we just take whatever the task or activity is, put it on a
spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, got it.
Nothing, you know.
What would be one piece of advice for growing the culture of success besides graphing? Is there an energy? Is it saying the mission over and over? Is it you setting the example?
We will to next. No, we don't do any of that. We have a meeting every day. You know, we look for compliance and willingness before intelligence.
Mm. So you don't look for skill. You look for someone who's
I don't look for potential.
Hungry.
I never look for potential.
What do you look for then? Just like, yes, I'm willing to do whatever.
We hire the way the Patriots do.
Right.
You know, they don't hire the best guys.
Right.
They never do. They get all the rings, though.
They do.
Okay, there's three people in charge on that team. There's not... 33. It is a dictator. There's a dictator on that team. If you study all sports, I mean, it's pretty much like that too. Portland doesn't really have that. You know, he leaves Curry alone, and he leaves, you know,
Durant
alone, and they're doing good. You know, I mean, it's a different style, right?
Those are with superstars. Yeah.
Man, it's got to be so hard.
Yeah. Everyone's got a personality. Everyone's got their opinion.
So let's see how long that legacy can last.
Yeah.
What are they, 3 years now?
Yeah.
So, you know,
Third year.
Let's see if they tear themselves apart. But I know that New England Patriots thing works.
Consistently.
There's an owner. He's not involved.
He trusts the coach.
This guy, Bill, runs the deal.
Yeah.
And then Bill gives the ball to Brady and says, go to the deal.
Yeah.
So they hire from the lower half of the draft. They don't overpay for anybody. And if you don't comply, you're looking off the team.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to win without a great person. I like that.
They got one great person. They got the best quarterback.
Yeah. But they got a bunch of no names.
Right.
You don't know any
names
on the
great.
Team.
Yeah. Make them great, yeah.
And so I like that because now I'm not dependent upon a superstar.
Mm.
Right? Before I worked for myself, I was the superstar where I worked. And I made them kiss the ring every day, dude. I was a total diva. And I'm like, I'm never going to put myself in this situation where one guy runs the show.
Interesting.
So that's why our staff's so big. I want to get that staff to 1,200 people.
Really? Does that not stress you out going from 6 to 1,200?
No, it's going to be easier. It's going to be easier, man.
Yeah.
Get more done.
Yeah.
All big companies do that.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. We're just studying big companies now. Rather than studying people in my space, you know, people that I'm supposedly competing with or, you know, the guy that became a big name and outsourced everything. We're like, no, we want to take this. We want to run this thing internally and get big, man.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
School of greatness.
Okay. A couple final questions for you. This is great, man. I love this.
You broke me down today. I didn't expect you to do that.
I wasn't expecting either. I'm just asking questions.
Yeah.
Setting the stage. This is called the three truths. I think I've asked it to you before.
Okay.
So imagine it's your last day.
Yeah.
But you pick the day. Pick the year. You know, you can be as old as you want.
Uh-huh.
At some point, you got to leave this physical body and you go to the next realm, wherever you're going.
Yeah.
And you achieved everything, man. You made the 10 billion is 100, but whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
You got it.
Achieved everything?
Everything you wanted up until that moment happened.
Maybe
you still had more dreams beyond that, but maybe you did it.
Yeah.
10 billion, 20 billion, 100 billion, whatever. It's just a number on that.
Kids are happy. They're healthy. They love me.
They're married. They're there by your bedside, just like you were with your mom.
Yeah.
They're there.
Yeah.
Everything's loving.
Yeah.
Connected. There's no negative energy. You got an opportunity to share a message with them.
Yeah.
That they would then share with the world.
Yeah.
And you've created a lot of books. You know, you've got tons of books now. You guys can go get this book, The 10X Rule, which is crushing it. You got all these other books and programs and videos, thousands of videos you got, but you got to take all of it with you. So no one has access to this information anymore.
Oh, wow. What a shame, dude.
You got to take it with you.
But
you get to have a piece of paper and give to your family three things you know to be true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got an hour left. You said your goodbyes. You said this and that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write down three things that I know to be true that you can have and then share with the world. These are my lessons that I would give to the world.
Yeah, awesome, man.
I want you to give them to the world. Uh-huh. There's only three things that I'm allowed to say.
Uh-huh.
What would you say are your three truths?
You can do anything.
That'd be number one.
Yeah, for sure.
You can do anything.
And more than you ever freaking dreamed. But everybody is underestimating what they could do.
Okay.
Number two, you can't fail. It's impossible. It's just impossible. You can't even quit. You can't quit. There's no way to quit. And number three, you're not a body. You know, you're not your physical unit.
Love it.
Yeah.
Three great lessons, man. Three truths. Where can people find you right now? Everywhere, man.
Well, if you're in Singapore, I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
If you're in Russia, I'm coming. So we're getting ready to do every country on the planet. So this idea that I'm going to go meet 7 billion people, probably never do it, but we're going to at least give it a try.
Yeah.
And until then, you know, wherever you could see me driving a truck through Beverly Hills and Instagram.
Yeah, but Grant Cardone on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, Grant Cardone everywhere.
Grant Cardone. You've got
you finally hit 1 million subscribers on YouTube. Finally,
congrats.
Finally did that.
I've got like almost 500,000. I got to step it up.
So
man.
Hard, dude.
A lot, man.
So hard. 12 years.
Yeah. I think 12 years on there. 12 years myself, yeah. I didn't start getting into YouTube about 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Really going all in, but.
So hard. I mean, I didn't even ask. I didn't ask people to subscribe to the channel for 8 years.
Yeah,
maybe 9.
You got 10X Growth Con.
Yep, we're gonna do a 10X kind of version around the world and around the United States. But then we're gonna do our big annual one. We're gonna do one annual big one a year.
You haven't announced it yet, but where to get on the email list, where can they go?
Yeah, go to 10xgrowthcon.com. You can register there actually for a $20,000 seat. Because this year we have two stupid parties planned. One, you won't know where you're going until you get
that
there.
That moment. It's like an experience.
Yeah, it's going to be a trip, dude.
Wow.
And it's going to be confined to the only seats that we're selling right now are the VIP seats. So it's only, there's three levels of VIPs. And this will also be part of the show. These seats will be
an experience.
Part of the show itself.
Mm.
And we got some super talent that's going to be, I mean, crazy, dude. Wow. Some of the names I'm going to try to get there this year.
Massive.
Or, like, people will be like,
wow, he did it. Dude, 10X it.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Right, right. Okay. So 10xgrowthcon.com. Go get your tickets. Pre-register.
Or just register to see if even if you don't want to buy one right now. Register, yeah. See if you can win the $20,000.
You're doing a giveaway.
Banger.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So sign up there. 10x Growth Talk.
That person will speak on stage, by the way.
Oh, so. Wow. That's big.
Yeah. If you can handle that many people.
Right.
Sometimes that's too much for people. They're like,
pressure. How else can we be a part? You got a CardoneCapital.com.
CardoneCapital.com is probably going to be the thing I'm going to end up being known for. Like, this is kind of ridiculous, but the books and the programs and the sales and the university and Cardone University, it's probably Cardone Capital that I'm going to end up being known for. Mm-hmm. So we've already had calls from hedge funds saying, hey, man, how much money did you raise?
Right.
A bank called me. You raised $200 million in 20 months. Dude. He's like, nobody can do that.
Wow.
He's like, where are you advertising? I said, we don't advertise. Wow. You on CNBC? No, dude, we're on Instagram. What?
Crazy.
He's like, what do you mean you're on Instagram? Where do I see your ad? I want to see what the ad looks like. I said, there's no ad, bro. We've never spent a penny. He's like, well, what is the commissions? What commissions are you paying out? We don't pay commissions. 100% of the $200 million is invested in real estate. There's not one penny taken out. So this is literally it's going to be a disruptor, dude. Yeah. It's going to be. Now, I think I'm a little worried that somewhere along the line, the Blackstones and the Wells Fargos and the people that run the planet the Deutsche Banks are going to be like, hey, dude, we don't like this little guy. If I get big enough, there'll be some negative impact. Mm.
They'll just try to buy you, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, I'm invested in it. I love it. I love getting a check every month. So thanks for giving me a check every month.
You got it.
Check it out, CardoneCapital.com. I love it, man. I love all your stuff.
Yeah, you're awesome, man.
I appreciate you. I acknowledge you for... I don't think you've shared a lot of this stuff publicly before in this interview. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff you shared about marriage, about your mom dying. I don't think you've gone there and really opened up about some of those
Nobody's
stories.
Nobody's ever asked me, you know? So you're just a good...
All this stuff, man. So I
care about you, bro. I just love watching you grow, and I love watching you go through... You know who you are and what you do, and I like watching all the guys in the space, you know, develop. And you know, I've done so well. It's like I'm so grateful and blessed, and I know that there's plenty for everybody.
Of course,
and I know you know that.
Yeah, of course.
And so you're one of the most generous people I know in the space.
Oh,
so,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, really appreciate you.
Appreciate it. I acknowledge you for opening up, man. I don't think I've ever seen you cry. Yeah. I actually have in Malibu one time.
Yeah.
Late night, you were like.
Oh, was I drinking?
Yeah, a little. You were like open up about stuff. You had like one tear, but I acknowledge you, man. I appreciate it. Final question for you. What's your definition of greatness?
Man, it's so personal to everybody, you know. For me, it's like it's like mercury. It just keeps moving. You know, because I become more and more aware of what I can do. So it's fluid.
Yeah. Love it. Greg Cardone, my man.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It, brother.
Thanks.
There you have it, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this interview and this episode. We are always trying to bring you powerful insights from some of the most inspirational people in the world. And Grant Cardone delivered. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends. LewisHouse.com/802. Or just copy the link on your podcast app right now and share it over on your Instagram story, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and text a couple friends who would be inspired this. You get to be a hero today by texting a few friends this link and say, hey, check this out. It's free. I think you're going to enjoy this. So text a few people right now and tag me at Lewis Howes and at Grant Cardone over on your Instagram story as well. And as T.S. Eliot said, only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go. You were born with so much freaking potential inside of you. You have only scratched the surface of what is possible. You've only tapped into so little of what you're capable of. But you've got to be willing to push yourself farther and farther. Risk so much to see how far you can go.
I hope this interview inspires you to risk even bigger in your life, to think bigger, to change your mindset, to be willing to reach your potential, because you were born with incredible gifts that only you have, and the world needs to see them. They need to experience these gifts, and it's time you stop holding back. It's time you start moving forward and start unleashing the greatness within you. As always, I love you so very much, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.